Just 5 minutes after the noon hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. It's Top Text Tuesday. Yeah, everybody's happy. I got to check the stats here. Weld County Swami is not wasting any time here. Drew Locke is awful. I should win Top Text Tuesday with that take. What do you think, Colfax? I mean, it's an honest take, isn't it?
Yeah, truthful. It's on the money. Quick to the point. We'll see how it holds out.
We'll see how it holds. So I fired up two poll questions today. One of them, overridden it. Is that right? Oh, is it, why does it sound weird in my head now?
I don't know.
Well, you know, we're not wordsmiths here. It's a radio show, for crying out loud. First poll question is this one. Philip Lindsay going to be a Bronco much past next year?
No.
Can't imagine. Did you see last night, Colfax? Dalvin Cook, star running back for Minnesota. Of course, Gary Kubiak now is running the offense. Guess how many carries he had? Just think of it. Philip had 4 carries.
Right.
They value a run game.
20?
30.
30.
30 carries last night. I mean, and again, Dalvin Cook's a stud. That offensive line is good at run blocking, but they're bad at pass protection. So I understand that. But I've never seen anything like it locally, I guess. I mean, I'm sure this happens with other teams, and we always go, why isn't so-and-so getting the ball? But we don't really know the whole story. Texters yesterday are saying, well, it's because Lindsay's hurt. Vic Fangio said nothing of the sort. In fact, he said, yeah, I mean, everybody's nicked up at this point, but that wasn't, and I appreciate the honesty. You know, he said that wasn't the issue. So will Philip Lindsay be a Bronco, you know, when it's all said and done? You know, he's got the Broncos have the team option on him next season. So, I mean, they could keep him at the ridiculous rate that they have him at, which, honestly, wouldn't put it past him. Wouldn't put it past him to just take advantage of Philip Lindsay yet again. Tech texting in here. I really hope so, but they're doing their best to make sure it doesn't happen. I mean, would you want to stay here? Now, we keep adding to this, Colfax. We keep adding to it. So, they don't draft you. We go all the way back. They don't draft you. You're in their own backyard. Philip Lindsay was running all over the place for the Colorado Buffaloes, a Pac-12 team. I don't care that they weren't that great, really. I mean, I think they had one good year when he was there, maybe. Was that the good year? Not quite sure. But he was having good years. He was blowing it up. Our guy Mark Johnson, our Buffs insider, the voice of the Buffs, was absolutely shocked by this. You know, this guy should be going for, I thought, first rounder. He goes undrafted. And the Broncos don't draft him, you know? And I get it, all right, no one else is drafting him, so we'll just go pick him up as a free agent. All right, strike one. So you sign him as a free agent. He basically has to make the team, and then he has to earn the starting job, which he does. So, I mean, that was pretty good, right? So you're starting to realize Philip Lindsay's the real deal. Then you get him in the next year. All right, let's see if he can do it again. He does. 2,000 yards in 2 years, averaging, if my math is correct, averaging 1,000 yards a year. So then we fast forward. Here you go. You go out and you sign Melvin Gordon, a free agent running back. You pay him big money. Now, you could have paid Philip Lindsay money. You didn't have to, but you didn't have to pay Chris Harris either the year before that. But you did. You gave him $3 million for fear that he was going to not be there, not finish out his contract. Even though you had him under contract, John Elway just said, here's $3 million. Please don't leave us. And then at the end of the season, please leave us. So you give $3 million to Chris Harris. And then this year, you sign a running back that nobody else seemed to want, Melvin Gordon. And I mean, he had a decent game last week, but you're starting to see why. They pay him $8 million. Again, you didn't have to pay Philip. But there is such thing as like taking care of your guys. Just like they take care of you sometimes. They take a discount. They rework a contract. Philip Lindsay has been, in my opinion, again, if there's more insight to this, then please enlighten me. Philip Lindsay has been an ultimate professional. I get it on the field sometimes. He can get a little punchy. He can get a little feisty. But to me, he's a class act. He's the guy you want to build around. And if that wasn't evident after the Chargers game, clearly it wasn't, then it never will be. So no, Colfax, the answer to the first Power to Play sports poll question, again, available at thewholeshow.com, is no. I have seen nothing to lead me to believe the Broncos want anything to do with number 30 on this team. The guy that called the perhaps the second greatest Bronco of all time and asked for his permission to wear number 30. Another classy move. And what did Terrell Davis say? Hell yeah, you're going to break all the records. You're going to break all the Broncos records. And the Broncos are spitting in his face. If I sound heated on this, it's because I absolutely am. Here's Dixon. Lindsey's head will explode if they use the option on him. Probably. I wouldn't put it past Denver to do it. And then Elway to throw out an empty promise. Our guy, Zach Stevens, told us yesterday, listen, Elway's not going anywhere. He's got the contract. He's got another year left next year on his contract. The ownership situation is still in flux. Joe Ellis is, you know, he's either going to have control or he won't. But the bottom line is, if he has control, Elway's there. If no one has control, then you leave it as is because you have to have somebody at top and they're not going to be making hiring decisions. So Elway's protected. We can argue it if you want, but he's protected. He's not going anywhere. Texter Brady said, Dixon said it weeks ago, Elway doesn't want Lindsey to succeed to justify not giving him a new contract and wants to justify giving Gordon the money. Elway giving marching orders not to let Lindsey get going. I mean, that sounds extreme. How do you know that it's not just Pat Shurmur who likes Melvin Gordon? He likes a receiving running back. Vic Fangio probably looks at Lindsey's size and thinks, you know, we're not going to go that route. But I mean, the only knock that Philip Lindsey has ever had, most people, if they give him a knock, is that he's too small and he's going to get hurt. So you can't give him that many carries. Well, he gets hurt and he comes back. He gets hurt and he comes back, right? So, I mean, that's going to happen with anybody. Alex Smith had the Kovacs almost a life-threatening leg injury that was so bad in his nerves and ligaments. It was such a bad surgery, bad situation. He played on Sunday. He actually had a decent game. So, I mean, the idea that guys are going to get hurt, yeah, it's football. It's going to happen all the time. Boy, I don't know, man. This whole situation just doesn't seem right, you know? So that was our first poll question. It was an overwhelming yes for some reason, but I think that's because you're all in the wishful thinking. Last year he averaged 14 carries a game. Last year, the year before that, he averaged 13. Still not a lot, you know. I like to see the 20s, but I get it with the size. This year he's averaging 9.5 carries per game. 9.5, under 10. Wow. I get that he's not a receiving back, and your really complex but terrible offense really needs a receiving back to make it work. Well, why isn't it working then? Because Lindsey had 4 carries, 0 receptions, and he got absolutely trashed. This is my problem, and it has been for a very long time with the Broncos, is nothing seems to fit. I tweeted the other day, Elway was right. He never had a plan B. He never did. When he joked, you know, he said, hey, we like plan A, so we're going with plan A. Plan A was Peyton Manning. Well, Peyton Manning is old. You knew he wasn't going to be around for long. You only signed him to a 5-year deal. He finished 4. So what was plan B? Now, I was told on Twitter, well, plan B was Brock Osweiler. Well, if that was plan B, yikes. And I liked Brock, trust me. But Brock goes to Houston and fizzles. He gets them to the playoffs. They win a playoff game against a broken leg, Derek Carr-less Raiders team. But that was pretty much it. I mean, Brock was not the answer. And I thought he was. I even thought him coming back was going to be the answer. And I was actually upset that they benched him. But, I mean, let's face it. Was Brock going to be great? Was he going to be a Super Bowl guy? Not with the way the team was constructed. Every year, you just kept letting guys go and you didn't replace the need. You didn't replace the need on the offensive line. You didn't replace the need at cornerback recently. You didn't replace the need at middle linebacker. In fact, you kept filling positions that you already had guys in. Bradley Chubb, where you had Shaq Barrett. Frustrating situation. And no, I don't see how... I'm a big Philip Lindsay guy. I said after that first year, when he had 1,000 yards, I said if he can stay in this league for more than 5 years, if he could stay with the Broncos for more than 5 years, he's going to break TD's records as a Bronco. Yeah, maybe he needs to be there more like 6 or 7, because TD, I think, ended up with like 7,000 yards rushing in 5, 6 years, which is phenomenal. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, he would have had to put in the time and play more games. I look at 4 carries, and it'd be one thing if like they had the CSU treatment, right? What we saw with CSU against Boise State, 3 blocked kicks, and what was that, and all in the first half, and they take them for a touchdown, and you're just down 21-0 like that, 28-7, just like that. Okay, suddenly you're abandoning the run game. It was 10-6 at halftime. And your beloved quarterback that you've touted as the guy threw an interception that took any late in the half there, that took any chance of really committing to that run apparently away, because in the Broncos offense, if you're down 4, you might as well be down 30, because they're going to throw it like they're down 30. Very confusing. I don't get it. I know I'm not a football guru. I know I'm not sitting up late at night watching film like Pat Shurmur is apparently and Vic Fangio. But I don't think you need to be to see what's going on here in this situation. Top Text Tuesday. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. Our Power to Play sports poll question of the day, Colfax. Now, new one, because it was strange. It's kind of overwhelming. You guys think he will be here. You're wrong. Drew Holiday. And I guess this coincides with our big story of the day, too, Colfax. Drew Holiday, yeah, presented by FMS Bank. Jingle. Jingle time. Drew Holiday is now a member of the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Bucks were a favorite to go to the championship in the bubble. You got to think that they're a favorite now. The Bucks are trying to go. They're going to Giannis Antetokounmpo saying, please don't ever leave us. We want to sign you a long-term deal. We're going to create a championship team. We're going to put it around you. So they went out. They got aggressive, really aggressive. They reached agreements on acquiring not only New Orleans Pelicans superstar Drew Holiday, they got Sacramento Kings forward Bogdan Bogdanovic, a source told ESPN. So they basically, if Giannis doesn't, that's a big move. I almost cussed there. That is a huge move. So the Bucks and the Kings, so after the deal was done, the Bucks and the Kings reached an agreement in principle on a sign and trade that'll bring Bogdanovic and Justin James to the Bucks. The Kings out of the deal got Dante Vincenzo, DJ Wilson, and Ersan Islovia. As part of the trade for Holiday, though, Milwaukee is sending New Orleans a package that includes Eric Bledsoe, solid player, George Hill, great defensive player, and not one, not two, but 3 first-round picks. One of them is a 2020 first from Indiana, and an unprotected first 2025 and 2027, sources said. Whew! Also includes a pair of first-round pick swaps, 2024 and 2026, and will ultimately amount to something similar to what the Pelicans received from the Lakers last season in the deal that sent Anthony Davis to Los Angeles. So, the new Power to Play Sports poll question is, did the Nuggets miss the boat on Drew by not going all in on this move? Because the rumor was they were trying to move up into top 10 last week. Remember that, Colfax? Well, the reason was, they wanted to move up so they could take that top 10 pick, package it with a Gary Harris, Will Barton, and say, here you go, bring us Drew. Why would you do that if you could get 3 first-round picks and some nice pieces as you try to retool this thing? Flat-out rebuild mode. So, this is a difficult situation here now. as far as the where the Nuggets are on this track meet. Now, I didn't say that Drew Holiday was the end-all, be-all for the Nuggets, but teams are getting aggressive. I mean, Golden State, they're going to be good, and they have the number two pick in the draft. So, did the Nuggets miss out by not going all in for Drew Holiday? Mark Knutson arguing with me on Twitter, believe it or not, saying, well, I mean, rumor has it, they were going to go big for Drew. No, I'm not talking go big. I'm talking all in. And all in would have been Gary Harris, Will Barton, and three first-round draft picks. That would have been all in. And Drew Holiday didn't re-sign. So you've only got him for the year. You better hope he slipped you a nice little note that said, I'm going to stay with you guys. 21 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break. We're going to get my guy, UNC men's basketball coach Steve Smiley, on the program a little bit later on. I'll get to my best of the NFL. What a weekend it really was. Unfortunately, Broncos didn't really take part in the positive side of that. So much more to get to. Go answer the poll question. Go to thewholeshow.com. It is Top Text Tuesday. Let's get after 21 minutes after the hour. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance. Tonight at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
We have some breaking news here today. I'm trying to wrap my little tiny brain around this right now. I'm getting this right now, and I'm going to confirm this throughout the day. Justin Michael of DNVR Rams retweeted Doug Samuels. Per source, UNLV at Colorado State game is being canceled. So Justin tweeting, and I was not a part of this, we have a program usually during these press Zoom call thingies. Justin tweeting, they're listening to the press conference, and suddenly there's phone calls and there's things going on, and Adazio said at that time he's unaware of issues but has not been told anything about a cancellation. Said he'd be open to playing someone else, including Colorado, if there was. Then he received a phone call. Let's wait and see what happens. So, I mean, this is how it goes now. You're in a Zoom call, you're in a press conference, and suddenly you get a call. So, Colfax, elephant in the room, CU doesn't have a date to the dance. CSU doesn't have a date to the dance. What if they just go together? And we get this Rocky Mountain Showdown loaded up again. Pac-12, now, so I had a listener, Ben Aker, are you out there, my friend, Green Aker? He said yesterday, CSU would gladly throw that UNLV game away so that they could play CU, which of course, I said, that's ridiculous. I'm reaching out to my guy, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, and I'm saying, kidding, but is there any possibility that that happens? Mark didn't even reply to that. He just replied and said, hopefully we get a game. What did Mark know? I don't know. We'll grill him tomorrow. But we are going to have Kevin Lytle on the program at 1:05, and I will grill him. He will confirm whatever is out there. So, I mean, I'm trying not to, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to sound excited that a game got canceled and there's COVID cases, all right? But for the state of Colorado, I still am pissed that the Rocky Mountain Showdown is going to go the way of, you know, the ancient buffalo. I'm not happy about that. But I would be, this would be like a nice little consolation prize if they could play. Now, don't get me wrong. CU's winning that game by 25 plus, but it'd still be fun. I mean, it'd still be fun to see. I talked to Carl Durrell, CU head coach, yesterday, and he even said it. He's like, Brady, it could be Wednesday, and we could be thinking we're not having a game, and we might have a game. Pac-12, would the Pac-12 flip on this? Would they come back and say, you know what? They're what, 40 miles, 30 miles? How far is it from Boulder to Fort Collins, Colfax, something like that. Go on and go play him. Go for it. I'd like to see that. Whew. That'd be sweet, man. I was all geared up. I put my media creds in to go check out CSU UNLV Saturday, and here we are. Sir Charles. is a UNC boy. If CU takes CSU to the dance and things go right, is a UNC born because of it? That's pretty good. Oh, I just look at this. Sir Charles has two. Could that be the text to get him over the top, to get him the Nugget swag?
That's up there.
That's what you're playing for today, by the way. I forgot to tell you.
It is Top Text Tuesday.
It is Top Text Tuesday. Let me read text coming back. Crazy news. My tiny little brain can barely take it. We are going to switch gears. Speaking of UNC, we're going to talk to a tremendous guy, and I cannot wait to see this team in action next Friday. We'll hear them in action. UNC men's basketball coach Steve Smiley coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Whew, already a big day. Getting a lot of news just left and right. I suppose this is where we are now. It's every day. A game can get canceled or postponed, and then who knows. But we're switching gears. We had some great news yesterday seeing some of the local matchups for the University of Northern Colorado, so I want to get into that. Joining me now, UNC head men's basketball coach, Coach Steve Smiley. Coach, my friend, it's always great to get you on the show.
I appreciate being here, Brady. How you doing?
You know, we're hanging in there, man. I mean, let me ask you, when you see news, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but we're hearing reports right now. We're going to confirm CSU UNLV football game might be canceled this weekend. We're trying
really?
To, yeah.
Oh,
so when you see that or you hear that, what does that do to your brain? Do you kind of go, oh boy, this could, apparently it can just happen at the drop of a hat?
Yeah, I think you just kind of feel that way that, you know, for us, kind of watching how football is going, a lot of people are going through those pauses. And I think for us, like, what I try to remind myself, like, I think right now, Division I basketball, there's give or take 25 or 30 teams that are on a pause, like a 14-day quarantine, something like that. That's not good. But I think, too, sometimes what gets reported is all the negative stuff, which is rightfully so, but you know, there's 357 Division I teams, and so that would mean there's over 300 teams still practicing. So I'm trying to keep myself in that positive.
True,
you know,
that's
mindset.
A great point.
But at the same point, it is. I mean, every time you take a weekly surveillance test in terms of a COVID test, I know my anxiety goes through the roof, and I can only imagine what our players go through. So you know, you see it where this football game gets canceled, this gets canceled. And again, these are, you know, right in our backyard, you know, CSU or CU or Wyoming. Obviously, our football team doesn't play till the spring. But you see things going on all over the place, and it really does, you know, kind of get to you a little bit. You think, geez, you know, what are we next? Like, when is this going to happen to us? You start kind of, you know, doubting a little bit, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no question about it. But that's a great point. You know, trying to look at the positive side and do the little things that you can control. And I know you guys have done just an absolute tremendous job of taking all the necessary precautions. Coach, one of the reasons I want to talk to you about a couple of things, seeing the schedule
sure.
kind of start to take shape. I'm excited for next Friday. That's the biggest one for me right now. But seeing Colorado State, seeing DU there, I mean, this is a great interstate test. I love it because
yeah.
I think it helps the state of, or I think it helps basketball in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think we've announced, five of our seven non-conference games. We'll have a full 27-game schedule, and that includes 20 Big Sky games. And the NCAA allows us to have a total of 27. So you got seven non-con. I believe we've announced, you know, kind of the five you mentioned. We got the tournament in Kansas City, which would be two games. And then right after finals week, that's when we have, in that order, CSU, CU, DU, three games in 5 days. And for us, it's going to be a great challenge. They're all on the road this year. But you know, I think for us and for our team, we need to go through those, you know, through those battles and through those trials to figure out where we're at before league play starts. So I think it's great. I think it's a really, really cool thing.
Yeah, and I love it for the fans. It's so much fun. I mean,
yeah,
we want to keep growing basketball throughout the state of Colorado, and what better way to do it? Because I've talked about this on the show quite a bit, Coach. All three programs, talking just Northern Colorado, really, and DU is a fine program too, but CSU, CU, and of course you guys, all three movers and shakers the last few years on the basketball side of things. So I think that getting them together, hopefully it's a regular thing, but we'll see. But I think that's so great for the state.
I think it is too. You know, I think it's great for, you know, for our guys. I mean, you're right. I mean, the last, you know, several years there's been a lot of success in the state at this college level. But like in our situation, like I told our guys, like, you know, all that success is past. And this is a new team, a new season, a new coach, a new staff. And, you know, we kind of got on our guys last night on a meeting and said, listen, we haven't proved anything. And so we've got to understand that. But I do think that, you know, it's a lot of excitement with some programs that have had some very good success in the past several years. And I think it's a great thing for our state.
We're talking to UNC head men's basketball coach Steve Smiley. Coach, how does that process work? You know, I joke about it, but I can't imagine what you guys are going through because, you know, we had the conference schedule up a while ago, but you're still working on it a week before you start play. So I know that's got to be absolutely nuts for you. But what does that process look like for you, especially, you know, talking with Colorado State, Colorado and DU?
Yeah, I think for, you know, when everything kind of blew up, I mean, we all had schedules a long, long, long time ago that were done. I mean, really, if not a year in advance, at least 6 months in advance. And then when, you know, when COVID hit and everyone's schedules and the start date was November 25th, it just, everything changed. We all had to go back to the drawing board and really what you're trying to do in the idea of getting as many games in as you can, you're trying to really minimize risk. I mean, everything right now with you know, what's going on with COVID and the positivity rates and the surges and the spikes, you're trying to be as smart as you can. And luckily, we are in a state that has several Division I programs. So I think that's where the idea came out of, okay, you know, just in terms of geography, it's probably in all of our best interest if we can find a date. And that's not always possible, but if we can find a date to get in a bus and go play where you can drive there and drive back in the same day, you can eliminate flights, you can eliminate hotels. You can eliminate as much risk as possible. And so I think that's where the big idea of it was. Now, we've always played DU, and, you know, last year they were at our place, so this year we're at their place. That kind of flip-flops every year. But the ability to, the opportunity, I guess, to play CSU and CU, just a great opportunity, and just it just made sense to do that. You know, we're all hoping to get as many of these non-conference games in as possible. And going back to your initial kind of comment on the football thing with things canceling, I think the idea is that if we do get cancellations in games for either side or whatever, that because it's so close and local, there's a chance to maybe get that game rescheduled at a later date. That's the hope, at least.
Yeah, that's a great plan. So, Coach, again, there's more to add. Is that correct? There's a few more games you guys are looking at?
Two more games to add. I think we're at 25 now, and to be honest, the other two they're done. We're just finalizing contracts and crossing the T's and dotting the I's on both sides. So as soon as those are done, those will get announced as well. But we should have the final 27 games done. And it is wild, you know, talking to different coaches in Division I basketball. So many coaches aren't even close to having 27 games. A lot of schools don't even have games on the opening weekend yet. They're just trying to find them. And so I do think we're in a pretty good position, starting with the fact that our league went back to 20 games. That was the biggest thing to start with and then building around it. But we have a pretty good idea of what we're doing, so long as the contract's finalized and we're good to go. But you know, we're very close now.
Coach, is it you know, now? I mean, we're getting close to almost a week and a half away from that very first game, Southeast Missouri State. As you mentioned, the tournament portion of this schedule, so you guys will start, you know, quickly next weekend. I mean, how difficult is that? You know, in a regular season, it's difficult preparing for a basketball game, getting practices in, getting rolling.
Yeah.
But you're building a schedule. You're dealing with COVID situations. So you've got all of your regular stuff that keeps you going 24/7. Then you add this on top. Game preparation, I mean, how do you feel that's going for you guys heading toward next Friday afternoon?
Yeah, I think in the big picture, it's going good. You know, we've had to modify our schedule a few times, and it kind of just going back to, you know, understanding kind of what the COVID world is and contact tracing and things like that. And luckily for us, we've really been able to avoid shutdown so far. But you look at your weekly schedule and you got to kind of modify things. You know, you don't have to, but we have, in the sense of, you know, sometimes we go in small groups where the guys don't interact. And the theory of that being that if for some reason, you know, someone got positive, if they weren't around the other teammates for 48 hours before, maybe the whole team doesn't get shut down. It's just there's all these little things you got to think of. It's not normal, but what we're trying to do is put the best plan together to give us the best chance to start the season on time in Kansas City. So, you know, I think we're in the big picture probably in a good spot with our overall preparation. That being said, you know, doing some inter-squad scrimmages recently, there's a lot we got to work on. We're not where I kind of thought we were going into some of that inter-squad scrimmage type of situation, but we've learned from it. We know what we need to kind of, you know, adjust, improve on. But there's still a lot of room to go. And, you know, part of this being a new staff, me being back at, you know, the head coach for the first time in, I guess, 6 or 7 years. And so I got to get reps, too. I got to get my feet wet. We got to get organized that way. So we're trying to simulate games as much as possible so that when we do get a chance to play next Friday, that we don't have all of the first game kind of, errors that could arise.
We're talking to UNC men's basketball coach Steve Smiley. Coach, I like the preseason polls because I get to talk about stuff. You know, I get to get on here and complain and stuff. Yeah. How do you feel about it? I had Bodie on last week, and of course, Bodie says the right things. He's like, nope, you know, we just got to let our playing prove it and see what happens. I was shocked, though, to be real honest with you. The coaches poll has you guys at 5. The media poll has you at 3. Maybe that's more realistic because of Eastern Washington, Montana, Northern Colorado. I think it's a toss-up. Do you talk about that? Do you think about that? Do you even care about it?
You know, I mean, I'd rather have a good result in the postseason poll than the preseason poll. And so, you know, I think as a coach, you don't really worry about it too much. But, I mean, I would also be lying if I didn't say that I saw those polls. I mean, you know, we all helped to vote in those polls, and you look at them. And it's fine. At the end of the day, you know, you look at it. I gave our guys an example last night. You know, there was a team in our league several years ago that was a landslide favorite to win the league, and fast forward, you know, 4, 5, 6 months later, and they finished in dead last. And so, at the end of the day, does it really matter? No, but you know, you could use it for motivation. You always want to have that kind of respect to your peers, I guess. But still, at the same point in time, we shouldn't have to where we're at with so many returners and upper class. We shouldn't have to, you know, use the motivation of a preseason poll to get our guys going. We should be, I think, more locked into just trying to concentrate on us and what we can do to get better. So, yeah, I mean, I see him. You know, whether it's good or bad, I mean, it just kind of is what it is. And I think that, you know, for us right now, it's other people's opinion. And at the end of the day, you know, we're going to play games and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, well, we started up again next Friday. Looking forward to it. Coach, you have that depth chart set or getting close to it anyway. But, man, when I was at practice last 2 weeks ago, I'm hoping to get there this Friday. The one thing that kept sticking out to me was depth, because I kept seeing guys that I knew were talented. Obviously, the Matt Johnsons and Bodie Humes and everything I've heard from Dalen Kuntz. Then there's other guys I'm looking saying, holy cow, I mean, these guys could be just as much a part of that starting lineup. That is one of the fun things that I love about watching what you have to do, Coach, is figuring out who gets those minutes, how they get those minutes, how that's all worked out.
Yeah, no, that's the I think the blessing and the curse with this team that, you know, we got 16 guys, we're healthy, with this 0-year idea, no one's going to redshirt, so it sounds great to have 16 guys, but, you know, it's hard to play more than, you know, 7, 8, 8.5 guys. You know, you can't play 12, 13 guys. So if you do the math and you're playing 9 guys, you're going to have 7 guys that could play that aren't playing, and that's a real chemistry challenge, and I think that's what we're going to have to fight. But on the flip side of that, you know, with our guys saying, listen, like, don't get into the first game and all of a sudden, you know, you're surprised at what your role is. Like, right now is the time to try to be carving out that role. This is the final stretch before we get to games. And roles can change mightily from the start of the year to the end of the year. But it's great to have the depth. I feel really good about it. I'm very, you know, impressed with our young guys and all of our new guys, our 7 new guys, on how far along they are. That's really made us say, okay, this is a good problem, but it's a problem. We're gonna have to figure this out. So, yeah, just the guys have a few more practices, you know, to kind of, you know, burn into our memories where we think this depth chart should be at on day one, and then we'll kind of figure it out from there. But it's a challenge because some guys, for better or worse, haven't fully separated themselves. And, you know, depending on the day, you know, player A might look better than player B, and then the next day player C is better than player A, and it's just like, hey, at some point in time, we have to figure this out. So I feel good about it, but it's going to be a challenge.
Well, Coach, we can't wait to get this thing going. Again, we'll have those games here on KFKA. Hoping to get out to practice Friday. Coach, we really appreciate you doing this on short notice. A lot on your plate, and we'll let you get back at it.
Okay, sounds good, Brady. Thanks, man.
All right, Coach. That's UNC men's basketball coach Steve Smiley. It is a deep group, no question about it. You know, I'm trying to kind of place where I think this depth chart's going to go, but I you know, I... Obviously, you're going to have Matt Johnson and Bodie Hume, Kaur Jokic is going to be right there in the mix. Guys like Jamel Melvin, you know, the freshman. I saw some good stuff out of him. Jason, the voice of the Bears, he's seen some great things out of him. Connor Creech is another name, another freshman. So the cool thing is, no matter how this season goes, which I think this season is going to be a very positive one for the Bears, there's a lot of young guys that are going to get, at some point, some meaningful minutes. But as Coach said, I mean, 16 guys, you're not redshirting anybody. So it will be kind of a challenge. And there's going to be guys that are sitting on the bench saying, well, I should be in there. That's going to be a test for them as far as how they can handle everything if they're not getting in initially. 49 minutes after the hour, we're still working to confirm the news here, but it looks like the CSU-UNLV game, not going to happen at this point, so we'll get more of a confirmation there. I mean, I'm talking about CU, CSU, Colfax, but I don't think that's realistic. I would be extremely shocked. I'd be pleasantly surprised if it happens. But again, they don't. Neither one of them have a game set at this point. So I'm gonna work on getting some more confirmation there. 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Steve Smiley, great guy. Great to have him on the program. That'll be our big interview of the day. You can check that out at 1310kfk.com or thewholeshow.com. Power to Play Sports poll question is up at thewholeshow.com. Should the Nuggets have gone all in to get Drew Holiday? Did they miss the boat? We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
So Kevin Lytle from the Colorado and tweeted 34 minutes ago, Colorado State football coach Steve Addazio was on Zoom press conference call talking about the upcoming UNLV-CSU game when a report came that the game was canceled. So, I think we can confirm that now. What ensued was a wild 10 minutes or so as Addazio processed the potential change. So, I wasn't a part of this Zoom call, so I want to make sure we get Kevin on the program 5 minutes after one. And we'll get the thoughts there. it's nuts, man. Kevin posted that Coach Addazio was late to a presser and said it was because he was on a call about the UNLV-CSU game and said there are issues, but said he hasn't been told it was canceled. So what is going to happen here? And Lytle also posted, just realizing now that Colorado State basketball plays at San Diego State on December 3rd and 5th, and football is at San Diego State on December 5th, would be an awesome extended weekend trip for Rams fans, if not for, well, you know, 2020. Yeah, so again, Lytle's processing a lot of information there. We'll bring him on in the second hour. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. Great stuff from Coach Smiley. Excellent talk there. I can't imagine, you know, if you're a head coach, you're preparing for your week, and you keep seeing this with football, because basketball, again, for the most part, starts up next week. Like CSU, they got their full schedule out, and I'm going to go through that in the second hour. They don't start till the weekend after that. But if you're a basketball coach, you got to be chewing your nails a little bit here. You're looking around at all these football games left and right. Now, the beauty of basketball is they're a little more flexible. You know, you can. It's easier to put together a basketball game and change on a dime if you need to, than it is a football game or shorter notice. I would imagine. Maybe basketball coaches would tell you different, but and also having so many different games. That's why Coach Smiley. Two more games left. I'm not going to do this to him because I don't want to put him on the spot. Do you think it's? Do you think one of those non-conference games is going to be the team up north, Colfax? Now we had Jeff Linder on the program, the of course new Wyoming head coach, about 2 weeks ago, and didn't he kind of say I wasn't really ready for that? You know, kind of be too soon. But it's 2020, so maybe you find a way to get ready for that. Too Cool VK texting in, the Pac-12 is not allowing a non-conference game to be played this year. I know, but do they change that? Listen, here's what we've learned this year, guys, is no matter what they say, because according to the Pac-12, my man, basketball wasn't happening until next year. Football was done until next year, right? Well, last time I checked, it's happening. Football's happening. So things can change. Will this change the possibility of having a Rocky Mountain Showdown? We're going to find out. Second hour coming up next.